It's good to see you this morning. I'm thankful that you're here. I want us to focus our attention on a parable of Jesus. When we read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we look at the teaching of Jesus, and we see indeed he is the master teacher. And oftentimes he taught in parables recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And this morning I want us to think about a parable that's just one verse in Matthew chapter 13. And that verse is verse 44. There's several parables in this chapter, a few of them very short like this one, but I really want us to think about it because I think volumes of books could be written on this one short parable recorded in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. We read there, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. The kingdom of heaven, and oftentimes the parables of Jesus would start out with that wording, the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven, we're taught here, is worth everything that we possess. If we can truly see the value of it, we should be willing to surrender everything for it. Jesus declared here the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. The first point I want us to make about this parable is that we see the treasure defined. What is the treasure? What is so valuable? Jesus spoke in very simple language, yet the depth of his message reaches into eternity. Here in Matthew 13 and verse 44, he tells of a man who finds a hidden treasure in a field. The treasure was not ordinary. It was not something that would just keep his interest in passing. It was something so valuable that it changed his entire perspective. In a moment, everything else in his life became secondary. His priorities shifted. His focus, that's so important, narrowed. His purpose became clear. And the kingdom of heaven, which is the church, and it will be delivered to God at the end of time, we see is of this kind of value. When a person truly understands that what God is offering here, to be a part of his church, the forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with the Creator, a place in his eternal kingdom. And that's why I had Brother Gordon read from 1 John chapter 2 that his promises of eternal life is something that is not going to fade in importance. In fact, throughout our life, it should become brighter and clearer and more important. Paul expressed this in his life. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8, he said, I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. The treasure of the kingdom cannot be measured with silver and gold, but it can be measured in eternity. It is valuable, more valuable than anything we have. Secondly, we see the man in this parable discovers the treasure. It can be discovered. If we seek God's word, it can be found. And I think that's really a point that we see throughout this chapter, Matthew chapter 13. The parables that Jesus spoke in, to those who were honestly seeking the truth, something that in the physical realm that compares to the spiritual realm, an earthly message with a spiritual meaning, if you're honestly seeking that, you will find it. But if you're dishonest, if you have ulterior motives, if you're hard-hearted, if you're really not looking for that, you will not be able to see it. So the parables were enlightening to some that were honest and seeking truly, and it was concealed from those who were not. It concealed the truth. But he discovers it. And we don't create truth. We've got to understand it's been revealed in the Word of God, and we can find it there. The gospel is revealed, preached, and heard. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When the word is heard and submitted to, understood, it exposes the value of the kingdom. There are many who will pass by this treasure in this field every day. The field's there, the treasure's there, the opportunity is there, yet they never recognize it, they never see it. In fact, in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 13, Jesus said there, seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Where's the difference? It lies in the heart. That parable of the sower. What kind of heart do we have? What kind of soil do we have? Are we receptive to the Word of God? Do we open our heart to it? Do we open our eyes to it? Eye has not seen anything like it. Ear has not heard anything like it. We're going to believe it, what it says. We're going to open up our hearts to it. Where does our heart lie? A heart that is open to the truth will recognize the treasure. A heart that is distracted or hard will pass right by it. But the third point is, we see joy in the one who found it. Notice carefully what Jesus said about this man in Matthew 13 and verse 44. For the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he had and buys the field. He's not sad. He's not thinking about all that he has to give up in order to obtain this. He finds joy in this, and he is driven by joy. He understood what he found and how priceless it is. And his decision is very determined and clear. True obedience to God is rooted in this same kind of understanding. When we grasp the value of salvation, the importance of obedience, our response should be that of joy. In Luke chapter 15, there's three parables that are in that chapter. Something that's lost is found. And when that which is lost is found, what does it bring? Joy. And even the angels in heaven are rejoicing when that is found. The early Christians, I think, demonstrated this point. When the church was established on the day of Pentecost, we read about it in Acts chapter 2, those that gladly received the word, what were it? Well, they were told to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Keep reading, because it says that those that gladly received the word were baptized. And, well, what did the early church do? Well, they continued steadfastly in prayer and doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread. They continued in those things, and it says in Acts 2 and verse 46 that it shows them eating their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Their lives had changed because they had found something worth living for and something worth giving up everything for. Point number four, the cost of the treasure. Possessing this. The man sold all that he had. That detail cannot be ignored in this short parable. The treasure was free in one sense, but yet in another sense, it required everything that he had. And Jesus often taught this very same principle. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 33, Jesus said in Luke 14 and verse 33, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. The kingdom requires full commitment. It's a commitment. When you repent of your sins, you confess, you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God because you gladly received that word and you're baptized for the forgiveness of your sin, you're making a commitment there. And we need to understand that. It demands surrender of sin, submission to the will of God, and dedication to a life of God's purpose, continually growing, becoming mature as a child of God. in Matthew chapter 19, in Mark chapter 10, in Luke chapter 18, there's a parallel account there of the rich young ruler. And he seems very interested in this treasure being saved. And he comes to Jesus at his feet and says, "What do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" And when he was told that he needed to sell all that he had and give to the poor and come and follow me, Jesus said to him, he walked away sorrowful. He didn't have that joy. He walked away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was unwilling to pay the price. He wanted a cheap religion. And I'm afraid a lot of people today are looking for that. He desired eternal life, but he walked away sorrowful because he was unwilling to release what he held dear. The treasure was his money over being a part following Jesus. Every person has to answer this question for themselves. They can be taught well by their parents, grandparents, their Bible teachers, but they have to make the decision. What is more dear to me? Every person must answer. Is being a part of the kingdom of heaven worth my commitment? Am I willing to pay the price? And the answer will be revealed, not just by what we say, but by our actions, what we're willing to surrender. But you also see, point number five, the urgency in this parable. The man acted, he didn't put it off. He didn't procrastinate. He acted immediately. He did not delay. He did not hesitate. He recognized the opportunity and he seized it. The gospel calls for that same type of urgency over and over again in the accounts of conversion recorded in Acts. We see that they responded immediately. In 2 Corinthians 6, in verse 2, Paul wrote, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Life is short. Life is uncertain. We can lose our life in an instant, unexpectedly, and the opportunities will pass. Hearts will harden in time if they don't respond to the gospel when they first hear it. Over time, their hearts can harden to it, and it's easier to reject. The treasure is available now. The invitation is extended now. Those who respond will receive the blessing. Those who delay may never get the opportunity again. But the sixth point is the eternal nature of this reward. It lasts forever. It's not temporary. The treasure represents something eternal. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20, you remember Jesus taught in his Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Earthly wealth fades. Possessions decay. Time passes. What we have, the physical blessings that we have on this earth, they have an expiration date. One day they're all going to burn. We need to be good stewards with what God has given us. The kingdom of God endures forever. Trust Him when He says that. Don't let worldly possessions cause you to lose your soul. The nature of the kingdom is eternal. In Revelation 21, it describes a place, heaven, where God dwells with His people, where sorrow and death are gone, and where righteousness dwells. This is the treasure. This is the promise. This is the inheritance that Peter writes cannot fade away, reserved for you in heaven. Once you get there, you're there and you will never want to leave. But think about, finally, the hidden nature of the kingdom, a hidden treasure. The treasure was hidden in a field. It was present, yet unseen by many. The kingdom of God often appears this way to the world. It doesn't have an appeal to the world. Many people of the world pass by this building and other church buildings where the truth is being taught and adhered to, and they don't have any desire to come, to be here, to learn. But we need to realize that the church, the kingdom of heaven, is so valuable that Jesus was willing to leave heaven and come here and to live a life without sin and teach nothing but the truth and what it means to be a part of his kingdom that would come. And he gave his lifeblood for it. In Acts 20 and verse 28, when Paul is talking with the elders from the church at Ephesus, he speaks of the church which was purchased, paid for, bought, signed in blood. Jesus gave his life for the church. The church of the living God, it says in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, the pillar and the ground of the truth. We are God's people. We are the saved. We are the called out of the world. We need to cover our lives in Christ, be hidden in him. In Colossians 3 and verse 3, Paul writes this, "For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." The life of a child of God may seem strange to the world, it probably will, but it holds eternal value. The treasure remains hidden to those who refuse to open their heart, their spiritual eyes, and see the truth and obey it. God doesn't want anybody to be lost. He wants to save you. If you're not a child of God and if you are accountable for your sins, he has offered the solution by giving his blood. He died on the cross so that you can be forgiven of your sins. Submit to him. See the value of the kingdom of heaven. Think about this short parable. Again, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for the joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. God says it's valuable. Believe it. If you need to be a child of God, come repenting of your sins, confess that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized and have your sins washed away and be faithful unto death, and God will give you that crown of life. If you need to respond to the gospel call this morning, please come while together we stand and sing.